There is no doubt in my mind that the Christmas songs of my childhood were the greatest Christmas songs ever recorded. The 15-year period between Wizard's I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day and Cliff Richard's Mistletoe and Wine represented a golden age for Yuletide pop tunes, if not a cultural high point for civilization. Every year, I still marvel at the power of these songs to reconnect me with my childhood. For instance, Wham's Last Christmas never fails to bring me back to a cold night in December 1984, when my friends and I spent several hours collecting grocery items for the St. Lawrence College Loughlinstown Christmas Bazaar. We walked the length and breadth of Ballybrack that night, dragging my mother's red tartan shopping trolley behind us, knocking on doors, asking people to donate food items for the food stall. At the end of the night, we went back to my house and we laid out our bounty on the kitchen table. It was mostly tins, Heinz spaghetti spirals, yellow-packed tomato soup, Bachelor's processed peas, Tesco's own brand prunes in their own juice, Del Monte mixed fruit cocktail, and then something so utterly revolting that I couldn't believe it was real at the time, just as I can scarcely believe it today, a full Irish breakfast in a tin. The picture on the label suggested that somehow crammed into this TARDIS-like aluminium container were four tablespoons of baked beans, one thick slice of bacon that resembled the sole of my foot when I stayed too long in a hot bath, half a grilled tomato, six button mushrooms, and swimming in the tomato sauce, a tiny skinless sausage looking pale and apologetic like a limp penis. The fire in the kitchen was roaring and it smelled of smoky coal, the good stuff. On the portable black and white television, there was a video for a Christmas song I'd never heard before. George Michael on a skiing holiday, mooning over an ex-girlfriend with pouty lips and big hair, when we all still believed that that was George's type. As we sat at the table, looking over the dozens and dozens of tins we'd collected, I had an idea. How funny would it be if we swapped around all the labels? If we took the label off the pineapple rings and stuck it on the cockyleaky soup. If we took the label off the peach slices in their own juice and stuck it on the salmon chunks in brine. If we took the label off the scotch broth and stuck it on the pear halves in syrup. So we set to work. As carefully as our clumsy adolescent fingers would allow, removing the labels from each and every tin. Halfway through the operation, my mother walked into the kitchen and asked what was going on. I told her matter-of-factly that we were swapping around the labels on all the tins we'd collected for the school bazaar. My mother was a woman with a very strong sense of right and wrong. But she also knew good comedy when she saw it. She thought about what I told her, and then she said, "I'll go and get you the good glue." The good glue was a tube of Evo stick that was once kept in the kitchen drawer. But my parents had taken to hiding it ever since watching a Today Tonight special report about teenagers sniffing solvents at the Papal Cross. Having retrieved the glue from its hiding place, my mother committed to the idea fully, offering helpful suggestions as to which label should go on which tin. Sweet on savoury, savoury on sweet, and oh, how giddy we became thinking about the likely reaction when each tin was opened. By the time we returned to school in January, I'd forgotten all about it. Brother Fred, first-year religion teacher, who'd been in charge of the grocery stall, welcomed us back and said he hoped we'd had a nice Christmas. I hope you had a happier Christmas, he said, than the woman from Enel Court who decided to make spaghetti bolognese on New Year's Day and discovered that her tin of chopped tomatoes contained black cherries in syrup. I hope you had a happier Christmas than the family from Ackle Road who were served peas on toast for their breakfast on Stephen's Day. And I certainly hope you had a happier Christmas than the woman from Ashlawn Park who, on Christmas Eve no less, emptied a tin of fruit cocktail into a trifle she was making, only to discover that it contained something so vile that I can barely bring myself to describe it to you. A full Irish breakfast in a tin. I don't know if Brother Fred ever suspected that it was me who switched the labels, but I do remember the struggle he had trying to keep the smile from his face.